dynamite God and a dynamite gospel, but we're living a firecracker life. Y'all hear me? Dynamite God and a dynamite gospel, but we're living a firecracker life. I don't know if anybody knows the difference between a firecracker and a stick of dynamite. I mean, I'm not no fireworks expert, but Brother James, I know you light a stick of dynamite and it goes off, and you light a firecracker and it goes off. There's a big difference. Huge difference. Brother Art's looking at that grin on the face. There's the size of the stick of dynamite compared to the firecracker is different. The sound of the dynamite compared to the firecracker is different. And the effect of the firecracker and the dynamite is completely different. But we, as God's people, if we have a dynamite God and a dynamite gospel, we should be living a dynamite life, not a firecracker life. And you might say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm saying that we should be realize there's power within us. There's a power that dwells and moves within us. That we don't have to settle to have a firecracker type Christianity. We can be effective. We can make a difference. And I told Brother Eddie, and I think me and James has talked, maybe others have talked, and I know the Bible says there's a remnant of the world, there's a remnant of Israel that God brung out, and there's a remnant of the church and people being saved. I understand that, and I believe that. But Brother James, that doesn't mean we live a firecracker life. We just pop off from now and then just for the sound. And I'll even say this, they don't let firecrackers off like they used to. Used to, man, they'd let firecrackers off like crazy. Now we got them little, what they call poppers, little white things. You just throw them. You can squeeze them, and they'll pop. But they, and, you know, you let a firecracker off in your hand, you'll know it's something quick. But the popper won't even leave a mark, won't even burn, won't even have an effect. I'll say this, we as God's people need to be so effective today, not just for the cause of everybody else, but even for the cause of our own selves. And if you got Acts chapter number 1, verse 8 is where I'm going to read this. And as a matter of fact, I'll read verse number 4. Verse number 4, Acts number 1, verse 4, Acts 1, verse 4. But my heart will be focused on verse 8. And he being assembled together and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons for which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Would you help me pray? Precious God and wonderful Savior, Lord, we come to you, Lord, this evening. We could never thank you enough for the blessed hope that we have. Wonderful singing, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for it this night. But Father, we pray, Lord, Father, for this word. We pray for just a simple thought to share with the church. Lord, Father, that we would be a help and an encouragement unto them. And they, Lord, Father, would be encouraged as well as myself, Lord, to seek you, Lord Father, and to tap into this power. Lord Father, we love and thank you and praise you, Lord Father, for it. And Lord, I do know this, Lord, we need you more now than we ever have. Lord, may we rely on you, seek you, and trust in you for all things. And Lord, though this may be the end of our Sunday evening, Lord, maybe we walk out of here in a better shape and better frame of mind than when we did come in. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor. It's in Jesus' precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. No doubt we all know the story here in Acts chapter number 1. No doubt we know this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And those disciples were told even before Christ was crucified that they should be there, they'd be endued with power from up on high. We do know that that's the scripture that the disciples were told to tarry and wait in the upper room. But my heart is so fixed upon that verse number 8. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth. He's basically telling them, in no shape or form being trying to fancy with it, that they was going to be the witnesses that's going to go out, not just in Jerusalem and in the neighborhood, but they was to go out to all the uttermost parts of the earth. They would be the one to witness, and they were the one to be the testifying. They was the one to be doing the things that Christ was doing while he was walking upon the earth. And can I say this? I think it's still the same mission as it is today. We are to start at our local church and our local community, and we are to spread out from there and reach as far as we can reach within the leadership and the help of God. But can I say this? We got to do it with the power of God. That power of God is the crucial thing that we must have. It's one thing to have the most wonderful thing there ever is, that being salvation. It's another thing to have the most wonderful thing, the message that it is, the gospel, and that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it's another thing to live that life, to have that power tapped into in our life, to have it flowing and moving through us. May I say this? Some people don't believe in this, but I do, Brother Eddie. Some folks don't believe being filled with the Holy Ghost, but I still believe being filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe this 100%. When you got saved, you got all three. You got God, you got the Father, you got the Father, you got the Son, and you got the Holy Ghost. Those three are one. We got one Lord. We got one faith. We got one baptism. Not three separate gods, but we got three manifestations of what God's working power in our life. We got the drawing of the Father to come to the Savior, who was the sacrifice for sin, the appeasing and atonement blood of Christ. But we're also get filled with the Holy Ghost that we might conduct ourselves in the office of what Christ and the Father has in line for us to do. They asked him, they said, well, Jesus, will you restore the power or the kingdom unto Israel at this time? Will you restore it again unto the kingdom to Israel this time? He said, it's not up to you to know the times of what things and what God's got in store. And can I say this? A lot of times we're waiting, saying we want to do this if we know what time this is going to happen, what time is that going to happen? Jesus told them disciples, they said, it ain't up to you to know what time, how this is going to go down or how that's going to go down. He said, but it is up to you to wait until you can do with power from up on high. It is upon you to get filled up. It is upon you to go out and to be my witnesses. And can I say, it's hard to be a witness when you got firecracker power, but you've got all the dynamite you can ask for to make a difference in somebody else's life. I believe the people of God can make a difference not only in a home, but also in the community, but also in a county, but also in a city, and also in a state. I know some people made fun of this revival a couple years ago. We had some that went to this revival a couple years ago. Some folks make fun of those preachers, and some folks make fun of them. And they thought it was all just for show. But I think they had a revival. I do believe it was in the Carolinas, North Carolina. And I think they preached. And they went on for a week. They went on for 2 weeks. They went on for 3 weeks. They went on for 4 weeks. And they was broadcasting everything on there. And just because sometimes that's not of our cup of tea. But Brother Eddie, if people was getting saved and born again and the gospel was getting spread, that means they're fulfilling what God told us to do. And let's go out and be the witnesses of Christ. Can I say this? It's hard to be a witness of Christ when Christ is so much full of dynamite, and we ain't got nothing but firecracker religion. I'm saying that God wants to fill us up, God wants to anoint us, and God wants to send us out to be the witnesses for him. I find it in 1 Corinthians verse number 4, or chapter 4 and verse 20, the kingdom of God is not in word, but it is in power. Can I say this? It's one thing to say something, but it's another thing to do it. And Brother James, I think we need it just as much as anybody else. Folks will pray for the preacher to have the power to preach the message. Folks will pray for the preacher to have the power to have an effective message. And folks will pray for the preacher to have a message where it changes people's hearts and people's minds. We'll pray that the preacher get anointed and filled up to preach the message. That's just so awe-inspiring and so awe-catching that it'll make a difference in our walk and a giddy up in our step. But friend, nobody ever prays for the congregation to hear that message, adopt that message into their heart, and walk the way the message has come. Friend, can I say this? We need more than our preachers to have power. We need to have our churches to have the power and to reach out and do the things that God wants us to do. Friend, we got plenty of counterfeits. We got plenty of pauper Christians. We got plenty of firecracker Christians. But the dynamite Christians, hard to find anymore. I mean, we got so many people that can't have an effect, ain't got enough power to blow the fuzz off of a paint hut. They can't make a difference in nobody's life. Why? Because they have not tapped into that power that Jesus said to wait until you're endued with from up on high. I remember the story hearing about these people from over in the Middle East or over in India somewhere. They was come to do some mission talk or something. They stayed in this hotel, and it was one of the greatest things they ever been in. They stayed in this hotel, and they asked if there's one thing you could take back home with you, what would you take? And they said, we'd like to take them silver knobs off that wall.
And they said, in the bathroom. They said, why would you like to take the silver knobs off that wall in the bathroom? They said, because that water come pouring out every time you turn that knob. We would love to have something like that where we're from, because we ain't got no knobs. We ain't got no shiny silver things on the wall that produce the water. Can I say something? The knobs and the faucet does not produce the water. It may look good on the wall. It may have some kind of effect with the eye appeal. But friend, the knobs and the spout does not have the power. It's the pipe that's behind the wall. It's the pipe that's filled with the water that comes from a source. And friend, can I say this? We can look real pretty on the outside. We can look real pretty, look appealing on the outside. But it's not when they turn our knobs, it's not the knobs that makes us so good. It's what we're tapped into on the inside. And friend, we need to have the power of God tapped into us. The power of the God is in the, or the kingdom of God is not in word, but the kingdom of God is in power. I know I might be in the minority amongst other people when I say you can carry around a Bible all day long and all it is just wood and pulp and ink. But friend, when the power of God hooks up with you in that word of God, it's more powerful and quicker than any two-edged sharpened sword, able to divide and discern between the joints and the marrow, and the soul and the spirit. It is a discerner of the intents and thoughts of the heart. Oh friend, can I say this? We don't need more word Christians. We need more powerful filled Christians. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, I've preached on this message many before, but the Lord gave me these scriptures and I'm going to give them to you. I'll give you everything that God's given me. We'll say it's been good to go to the house. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or with wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Can I say this? If you really know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, as the Apostle Paul said, to know Him and the power of His resurrection, friends, you've got all kinds of power locked up inside your heart. You've got all kinds of power locked up inside your head. Can I say this? There's nothing wrong with education. I think education's good. But if you ain't got no power coming out, if you ain't got no glory coming out of the spout, no glory coming out of the spout into your life, friend, there's no way you can be effective. But Paul said this in verse 3. He said, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words or words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The Apostle Paul said, I preach. When I preach, I want the Spirit and the power of God. When we preach, it better have the Spirit and the power of God. Can I say this? I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to tell you a little secret about Brother James, a little secret about Brother Josh and myself. We don't have a power source. We don't have a battery pack. We don't have jumper cables hooked up in our pockets and joined up with the glory of heaven. We don't have some little special thing on the inside like you guys don't have on the inside. We got the same energy as anybody else has. Y'all listen to the preacher. But friend, can I say this sometimes? Not only if the preacher's got to preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit, but the hearers has got to have the power and demonstration of the Spirit. And friend, can I say this? Oftentimes we'll look to the preacher to do everything that needs to be done to make a service to go here, make a service to go there, for the service to get high or the service to get serious. But friend, what we need to do is tap into the power of God. Let that power flow through us and make a difference in somebody's life. And Paul said, he said, my was not in wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We sing that song on New Year's Eve. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. I come across it not too long ago. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. Friend, it's not just a song. It's not just a cliche. It's not just a bumper sticker, and it's not just a t-shirt. And those things are good. All those things is fine. But friend, it's more so. It's much, much better to live a life power-filled and power-packed with God, making a difference in people's lives. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. He's given us of power, the spirit of power. That means we can cause kingdoms to rise and kingdoms to fall. Y'all listen to the preacher? Somebody says, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, I beg to differ, friend. When Gideon had all those thousands upon thousands of people, and we talked about that this past week at the soccer game, what did God do to Gideon and his crowd? He said, you got too many of Gideon. You got too many of them. Here's how you're going to find out you got too many of them. Ask them who always got a heart to go to battle and who don't have a heart to go to battle. And there was a whole lot that gave up. I do believe it was like 20-something thousand that quit and said they was not going to battle. Then the Bible says that God told Gideon, he said, Gideon, you want to find out something else about that crowd you got? He said, ask him to get some drink out of the water. And he said, the one that cups up their hand and brings it up to their mouth, He said, them's the ones you're going to go to battle with. Well, all he was left with was 300 people. Now, I know this, that out of that 300 people, I think God had to whittle away the ones who was the doubters, had to whittle away the ones that was the pouters, had to whittle away the ones that's going to sit there and be the armchair quarterback. But what God did give Gideon, maybe a bunch of hairy, unlooking, crazy-looking, wild men and women, but they was people that was willing to go to battle for the Lord. They was people that was willing to go battle for Gideon. That was people that was willing to make a difference in a person's life. And those people went up against the kingdom of Moab, and Moab was like grasshoppers on the field. But the Bible says when they sound the trumpet and busted that clay pitcher and had that light on the inside of it, it set the enemy a fighting amongst themselves. It set them getting loose. It set them getting killed. And can I say this? The people of God didn't have to lift up not one sword. Friend, that is power. And we still have that today. He says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of love, and of sound mind. We've got the power. We don't need to worry about and dibble-dabble around and not realize just who we are and what we can do. I've heard many people say, well, we can't do much, we're just a small few. But can I remind everybody, it was one woman who was a God-hater and a handful of God-haters that got prayer took out of school. That was a minority. And can I say this? I'm not saying this about Mount Zion, but I am lumping us up in one big giant lump. If the church would stand the way that she ought to stand with the power that she has, there ain't not one way the Ten Commandments ever would have come down. There'd be not one way the prayer ever get took out of school. And you wouldn't have no advertisement to take your Bible on what day is it? October what? Thursday. It's this coming Thursday. Take your Bible to school in October, on this month. It'll be October, whatever it is, 3rd or 4th. Can I say this? We would not have to worry about having a special day to take your Bibles to school, because there'd still be people free to read their Bibles in school. People would still have it in class and taught in class. You know, used to, back in the old days, for somebody to be a teacher in the local community, they had to be a member of the local church. Y'all listen to the preacher? You know, used to, I know how it is in Frenchburg, Brother Tony, but when they were in Frenchburg, they was running for office, they had to join up with a local church, be a member of the local church. They had to have that kind of establishment. And some people say, well, that was old days. Well, I got a cousin that ran for office in the city of Franklin, and he had to join up with a local church so it would look good on his resume. Can I say this? It's not just a fad. It's the power of God's people, if you realize it, that we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 11 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can I say, if there's ever a time you can't be a firecracker Christian, is when the devil starts throwing things your way. Y'all listen to the preacher? Because when the devil starts throwing things your way and you ain't girded up in the power of his might, bad things happen. Bad things happen to you, and bad things will happen to all people. I told Brother Josh, got some good news today. Got a phone call from a pastor, told Brother Eddie. Got a phone call from a pastor up north. Said they had themselves a wonderful service today. He said, you never guess who was there? And I said, no, who was there? And he told me the person's name. And I began to get all excited because it was a preacher that me and Brother Josh knows from years ago. Preached revivals with him. And some things come his way. Some things that the devil slung at his life and slung at his family. He's no longer married. He's all off doing all these things, doing things bad. Next thing you know, he's in the house of God. And he sat back there, and the preacher went back there and said, I just want to tell you I love you, and put his arms around and hugged him. He said, could you have them elders come back here and put their hands on me and pray for me? I need prayer. Can I say this? We need prayer, but we also need that power, Brother James. There's not just but one little step between me and that preacher that fell in this world. And we need the power of God. We need to put on the power of his God, power of our God, and his might. Put on that armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can I say this? These things happen. These things go on. These people may not realize it. But we're living a day and time where we can't be a firecracker Christian, just make a little pop sound, maybe a little flash, a little quick fuse, and everything be good and set over with. But friend, I think we need to be a dynamite Christian. I mean, when you light the fuse, you hear it. When you light the fuse, you know what to expect. And when it goes off, it leaves an effect. It leaves an impact. It leaves... that's visible, and something that is felt. I don't know about you, if you've ever been around some big explosions, but they explode so big, Brother Eddie, not only can you hear the explosion, but you can feel the explosion. Can I say this? This world just doesn't need to hear a firecracker Christian, but they need to feel a dynamite Christian. They need to feel the power of God pouring through our lives, pouring through our testimonies, and pouring through our witness. I do believe that some folks may not realize this, but I'm telling you, there is a difference. Some folks say, well, preacher, I'm satisfied with being a firecracker Christian. Well, if you're satisfied with being a firecracker Christian, mark her down. Things will always come your way, just like they always come away with a Christian who's a dynamite Christian. Problems always come, storms always stir up, and fires always given for burning through, and the midnight always comes. But Brother Josh, it's them who steadfast in the Lord. It's them who's waited upon the Lord. It's them who may not have the knowledge of all the scriptures, but they know the power of God. They know where the source comes from. Brother Eddie, when the problems come, it may shake them. It may blow upon them. It may beat upon them. But that house has been built upon a rock, and it will stand. Can I say this tonight? There's some things that can cause you not to be a dynamite Christian. They'll help you be a firecracker Christian. We got this going on so bad today. Here's how you become a firecracker Christian. I tell you in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, so them that are in the flesh cannot please God. When you ain't pleasing God, you'll never be a dynamite Christian. When you ain't pleasing God, when you're satisfying the desires of your flesh, when you say your flesh is more important than the things of God, when you say your desires to be fulfilled more than the desires of God, when you're a lover of pleasures more than lover of God, friend, you're a firecracker Christian. You may go to church, and I've heard people say, and I hear Sister Miranda, she's praying for her mom and praying for her family. They're out of church. They no longer go to church. And we always refer to the people who don't go to church as being out of church. But Brother Eddie, you can sit on the front pew and still be out of church. You can come to Sunday school and still be out of church. You can hear the messages over and over again and it still be out of church. You can hear the preaching. You can hear John the Baptist come in and preach. And John the Baptist with locust legs stealing his beard and honey's dripping off his mustache. And he can preach a fire, hellfire, brimstone message that we really like. But if you're a firecracker Christian, supply to satisfy in your flesh, it won't make no difference in your life. The Bible says this, that if you're in your flesh, you cannot please God. When I say that in your flesh, that means you're seeking to satisfy in your own ways. You're satisfying your own self. Some folks may not realize this, but we never think it happens in churches like this. But friends, it happens in churches like this all day long. It happens in churches that are big. It happens in churches that are small. It happens in churches that are medium-sized. It happens in Pentecostal churches. It happens in Presbyterian churches. It happens in Baptist churches. It happens everywhere. Can I say this? As long as we're in this world, we'll still have to fight the flesh. You have to mark yourself down and put yourself in a position to say, I am determined today not to let my flesh win. Romans 8 says, so then they are in the flesh cannot please the Lord. 2 Peter 2:11 says, dear beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against your soul. Can I say something? Get real quiet. Nobody likes it when the gospel gets up into your face. It gets up into your life and gets personal. People don't like it. I'll be the first one to say I don't like it neither. It makes me feel kind of different. Bothers me. First thing I like to do is say, well, that's just what you like to say. But can I say this? The fleshly lust wars against our soul. Peter did not write that to the unbeliever. He wrote that to the believer. When you do things to satisfy, to make yourself happy, just because you're happy doesn't mean God's happy. And just because things is going bad doesn't mean God's upset with you. But how do you know if you're not warring against your own self is when you're not satisfying your own self. Can I give you an example? It'd be real easy. It'd be real easy for some folks to take the ailments that they got or the burdens that they have and decide, I'm going to skip out this day and skip out that day. I hope y'all don't take this the wrong way. Ladies, please don't take this the wrong way. But I see more and more mothers now saying they need a time out from their children. They need a break from their children. My mom and dad, they never got that break from us kids. They stuck with us from all the time. Y'all listen to the preacher? I think the only break mom and dad ever really got was when they told us to get to our room and we was not allowed out. But we're living in a day and time now where people don't realize there's a power that they can tap into and a life that they can live, a life that will bless your soul, feed that spirit, be impactful. You preach, are you saying that mothers, it's wrong for mothers to get a break from their kids? I'm not saying that. But it seems like more and more and more people need a break from this, need a break from that, need a break from this, need a break from that. Lord of mercy, my first legitimate vacation that I ever took from this church, I finally got to go to this year. And all the other years I tried to go on vacation, the refrigerator went out, then the hot water heater went out, then the Suburban went out, and everything went out. Every time I tried to plan something, it was gone. And I'm sitting there thinking, going, what in the world's going on? And the Lord reminded me, he says, it's not the vacation that makes the difference. It's not geographical. It's not the absence of somebody else that brings the peace. It's the presence of God that brings the peace. He's told them disciples, Brother James, to stay put and wait upon him. Y'all listen to the preacher? Am I making sense? He says, wait and be endued with power. If those men decided and those women decided, that 120 of us in that upper room, Brother Eddie, if they decided to have themselves a bingo party, or Texas Hold'em, or they decided to have them a potluck dinner and a 50-50 raffle drawing, they wouldn't have been waiting on the Lord. They might be in the same place, but they wouldn't waiting on the Lord. Because you flip on over to that next, at the end, before you get to the end of that chapter, before you get to chapter number 2, you know what they was doing while they was waiting? They was praying. They was praying. Peter says, do not get a hold of them fleshly lust. He says, abstain from it. Abstain from it. He said, because they'll war against your soul. Many times I've thought about that. How many times I've allowed things to interfere with my walk and in my life. The simplest of things. Somebody says, well, preacher, you say that you ain't perfect. No, I'm not perfect. But we should always strive to make that difference in somebody else's life. Can I say this? You don't have to be a missionary to Papua New Guinea. You can just be the missionary of your own home. You can be the missionary to the neighborhood. Does the next door neighbor know you say? Do they see you? Do they see the Lord? I thought about this because Philippians 4:13 says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So that means we already have the power. I can do all things through Christ. We have Christ. You have Christ. Not to do anything you want to do, but do the things that God wants you to do to get accomplished. We're living a day and time now where people like us, they call us, they don't call me dinosaur, I'm not old enough to be a dinosaur, but they say our way of doing things is archaic. But Sister Vicky, it's what's lasted. It's what's been blessed. It's what's tapped into the power. But for the change, just as simple as we can say we can tap into the power, we can also cut off the power. Paul warns in other places, don't quench the Spirit. That's what he says. He says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. That's what Paul says. And Christian showed me this guy, and we watched some of these videos, and the great big thing he's getting hit with is this TV show called Game of Thrones. Never seen it. Don't know nothing about it. And all these people was asking this guy, should a Christian person watch this movie? So right there, I'm sitting there thinking, going, how bad is this movie or show for you got to ask some dude on the internet, can a Christian watch it? And somebody says, well, preacher, what do you do in situations like that? I'll give you what Paul says. He says, abstain from the appearance of all evil. Right? Preacher, that's hard. Preacher, that's difficult. That's what this flesh wants you to do. They want you to stay gawking at the evil, looking at the evil. Because when you see it, you'll covet it, then you'll take it, then you'll hide it. And while it's hid, it festers. Cuts off that power. Y'all still with the preacher? Philippians 4 says you've got the power. Go to Romans 8. I'll go to Romans 8. I'll go one more verse and then we'll be done. Romans 8. Romans 8, starting at verse number 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Ain't that wonderful? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And Paul says, nay. I say nay. Do you all say nay? Nay. Says, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We've got the power. We've got the power to be a dynamite Christian. In school, we've got the power to be the dynamite Christian. In the workplace, at Walmart, in the Dollar General. I make this joke from time to time. You go to that Dollar General in Blanchester, you need a power. You need something to get through that Dollar General and some of those people. And can I say, you can have a great big mission field in the Blanchester Dollar General. Now, I say that kind of haphazardly, but realistically, Brother James, that could be a wonderful place to win folks to Christ. We have the power. I meet people, you meet people. I've even been asked, why do you always say it's you're better than good? Because I'm saved. Let me tell you about who saved me. Now, can I say this? This is the last verse I touch. I'll give you one more verse and I'll be done. Y'all start with the preacher, say amen. Go to Ephesians chapter number 3. Give you a chance to highlight something, write down something, italicize something. One of my favorite verses. Try to remind myself of this verse all the time. Doesn't matter if you're a little kid, doesn't matter if you're a teenager, doesn't matter if you're a teacher, doesn't matter if you're a well-seasoned saint of God or a preacher. The Apostle Paul, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is a wonderful book. But the Ephesian book is telling us that we are connected with God in a connection that cannot be broken. And this is what it says in chapter number 3 and verse number 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Does that move on anybody? Does that take your firecracker tube and pack it full of more gunpowder? Does it make you want to get a stick of dynamite and put it in your back pocket and dine it and say, preacher, I didn't know. What's that mean? What that mean simply means is that through and by we can now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can think or ask according to the power that worketh in us. Can I say this? You can go to the throne of God. You can go on your knees in prayer. You can lay in your bed and pray unto the Lord. And according to that power that's already working in you, as Jesus said, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be removed. I think we've lost some things as time has marched on. I think we have lost some things, Brother Eddie, as the world tries to tell us to keep our mouth shut. We've lost sometimes, we think, because we don't want to make no waves and make no impact. When we was kids, I'll never forget the first time we was driving to Kentucky, and we always called it the old way. And you could tell it was an old way. I mean, you wind it and up and down and everything. And in Roffle Hill was the hill that you come to before you got into Frenchburg. As soon as you left Means, you started seeing these gorges, and there's Roffle Hill. And I'll never forget, it said blasting zone. You had to turn off your two-way radios, and Dad always turned the radio off in that old van and turned the 8-track off, and we'd go through there. And you'd see the side of that cliff, that hill just blasted out. There'd be these lines. Go all the way down that. And I'd sit there and go, what? No, what's all them lines, Dad? Because that's where they shove that dynamite down in there. They drill them holes and they shove it down in there, all the way down in there, all the way down in there. And everything's hooked to a radio thing. And when everything's clear, they hit that button. Boom! They blow the side of that cliff out, hill out. They blow all that out to make room so things can flow through there, traffic flow better through there. I thought about this and thinking about this tonight. What would it do if we asked God if we could tap more into that power that's already working in us? To either A, blast away some of the things that we've got plumbed up and plugged up in our life. That power of God could flow more freely through us. Or God make us to be one of them sticks of dynamite you can shove down in somebody's life. God can hit that detonator, Brother Johnny. We can go boom too and make a difference in their life. Can I say this? A lot of times, you know, Paul Leonard come in here and he couldn't walk down the steps without Tony helping him and me helping him. Of course, he knew Tony. I ran over to him as best as I could to make sure I caught up with him just to say hi. That's all I wanted to do, say hi. I said, "Hey, Paul, how you doing?" He raised up and looked at me. Now, all the times that I've seen him, he's always been, I'd say 90% of the time, that man's been drunk, can't even walk. And only 10% of the time, I saw him sober. He looked at me and said, "You come visit me in the nursing home." I may never have to read no scripture to him. I may never have to grab hold of him and put my hands on him and pray some big giant prayer. But Michelle, as long as he looks over and sees I got Tony that loves me, I got Mount Zion that loves me, that preacher loves me, that makes a huge difference. And can I say, it's not the great swelling things that we can do. And this is something that Brother James has preached many a times, and I think we've all preached many a times. But it's one thing to have the truth, if you'll have it to have the power. It's another thing to live it and walk it. We got ourselves a supply of power that can change a whole world. We can change the whole world. But we got to be willing to give up this firecracker Christian walk and let's be a dynamite Christian. Paul, you come to the song, and Caleb come, and Christian come.